You're listening to Better Than Fiction with your hosts, D.L. Nelson and Scott Sackett.
All right, welcome back to Better Than Fiction, your pop culture podcast, Oklahoma City's premier pop culture podcast, I might add. And as always, I'm your host, D.L. Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Yeah, Scott, this will be episode 433.
Woo!
433 episodes. Yeah, so tonight, once again, we're going to do some cool stuff. We're going to talk about what's cool in our world of pop culture. What have we been enjoying this week? And I've brought a book. I'm not going to say I've enjoyed it, like, this is unbelievable. But I brought a book that I know you don't have, but I thought we've talked about these kind of books before. And so I've got another artisan edition. This is the John Buscema Silver Surfer artisan edition. You know, once again, it's bigger than a trade paperback, but smaller than the hardcover artisan editions. It's a soft cover with the French flaps. And it goes for $40. And if you look at this one, it's got kind of a little bit of an embossed cover, sort of. And then it's got, I guess, that spot varnish.
Is it embossed or is it?
Well, it's not only.
Is it raised?
It's raised is a way to put it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's embossed.
It's raised.
I can't tell from here if it's.
The lettering's raised.
Yeah,
that's embossed. I think the Silver Surfer's even a little bit. Man, maybe he's not. But
if you flip over, look at the back of it. You should be able to tell on the back.
No, it's just the.
It's just the printing.
The printing's a little thicker on the lettering and on the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, some of that ink they can do that with.
But it's a cool looking cover, and then inside it's got stories from Silver Surfer 5, Silver Surfer 6, and 8, plus there's some individual pages from issues 1, 7, 9. 12, 13, 14, and 16. And of course, like I said, this is by John Buscema, written by Stan Lee. And I mean, I dig it. It's cool. But this is almost another one where there's not a lot of blue line or pencil marks. They're hard to find in here. I'm not saying they don't exist, but they're kind of hard to find in here.
It's about the equivalent of an art, essential.
Yeah. Now, you do have this. There are, on this page here, there are two panels that were not inked, I guess, but they've got blue lines crossing them out, so they didn't use them.
So, like, Stan Lee rejected those.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
And there's no text.
Well, what are the changes on across from it? It's got the pages the panels they used. Yeah. So I've heard that this had happened and it may be a story reason, but for whatever reason, see, it looked like it could put, because in that one, like, Silver Surfer is like flinging a car at somebody or something, and the other one, that dude's kicking somebody.
Yeah, it's
so Stan Lee may have changed the story.
Well,
on
if you
him.
Look. The one that they marked out, it's more dynamic, in my opinion. It's got a guy kind of pointing a gun kind of at you, sort of. But in the one they replaced it with, he's just shooting the gun up at a car that's above his head. And in the other shot, the car's like behind him. It's kind of wrecked behind him, maybe.
Well, but the Silver Surfer does something in that.
On the other panel,
the second panel is completely different.
Yeah, so I kind of like the ones, as far as the way they look, the ones that were taken out look to me better than the ones.
Look how clean John Buscema's art is, though. His pencils on that.
I know, it's pretty amazing. Almost like Gene Colan or something.
It's
really nice. But yeah, I've flipped through this a couple times. I've looked at it. I didn't read it. I think I've read all this before, actually. But there's not a lot of changes to it. I mean, there's some writing in the margins and things like that, a little bit. Like, he signed his name at the top of the page.
And we've talked about this before on those artist editions. Seeing the original art doesn't add a whole lot.
Look at this. There's a little bit of a blue mark on that tail of that word balloon.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's not Buscema. That's the letterer.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, for sure.
No, because, yeah.
And so you can look through here and go, well, and you can see on the sides where there's the tape, the discoloring where they taped it down, you know. But man, there's not a lot of direction on what to do or how to color it or stuff that, well, here, okay. Now here's a little bit. Now, there's a little bit of whiteout that they put on this panel, on these pages here, where maybe something got inked and they didn't like it, so they whited out and inked it over or something. Yeah. You know, there's some blue lines on this one panel here a little bit. But it's, I mean, almost to, I would say right now that that Daredevil one's hard to beat with its overlays and all that. It's just, and you got the Daredevil one, right? You picked that up, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that one's hard to beat. But, you know, looking at this, you're like, wow, this artwork is amazing. And it is amazing. But as a...
connoisseur?
Well, no, I was going to say, as someone who's looking for, like, changes or things that, you know, pencil lines that weren't inked or, you know, that kind of thing, it just isn't on this one hardly. There's almost nothing like that in this one. But will I still keep buying these? Yeah, because they're really cool to look at. I mean, they're extremely cool to look at. This one, I think's got maybe three pages that they couldn't get the original art from, or no, it's five.
Oh yeah,
it's just one of five pages in the book not scanned from original art, and the book's got, you know, 150 or so pages. So you know, that's pretty good that they've got that they were able to locate most of the pages, and then it's got additional pages in the back besides the three stories. It's got some additional pages in the back that the artwork and the inking are just spectacular. I mean, John Buscema was, when he was at the top of his game doing Silver Surfer and the like, he was a phenomenal artist. So this looks really cool. So, I mean, you could say it's like an essential, but then the essentials, you know, when they scan them with the color, you know, here and there, you get the different color, the different gray tones in it, where this doesn't really have that, but and here's some covers in the back. One cover, then an unused cover, the same sort of an image, sort of.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. There's not a lot of change in there, but apparently...
Just moved it around a little bit. But, yeah, I dig these Artisan Editions, and so I pre-ordered it, got it. And I was a little bit bummed, to tell you the truth, when I was flipping through it, because there's just not enough stuff that's not inked. It's mainly all just pretty pictures that have been inked.
Well, it's a combination of really clean pencils and clean inks. I don't know who inked this. Did he ink it?
I think he did.
Oh, yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think so.
You know, there's some, if you look at it real close, you can see some of his construction lines. Looks like he may have used a blue pencil under some of this. You can see some of it here. You see, like, but you have to look at it. The ones that I like are the ones where it's kind of sloppy, you know. The best one in terms of that, I think, maybe, certainly the small ones, is that maybe that Daredevil one with Dave Mazzucchelli.
Yeah.
But the John Byrne ones, his Fantastic Four is good because he leaves like a lot. There's a lot of like construction lines and stuff in there that.
I'm waiting for them to do a burn one of these, a burn it.
When they do a burn one, I'll buy it, even though I've got all three of them so far. Do you have all three of his?
I don't have any of his.
Oh, I thought you had them.
No.
Oh, yeah. This is a more user-friendly format, for sure, than the Artisan Edition, or the full-size ones, the hardcover.
Right. You know. I love these little editions. I think they're cool, you know?
Yeah, I don't have all of them. I've got three of them. I've got the Fantastic Four one, those Kirby's. I've got the Mazzucchelli Daredevil, and I've got the Romita Spider-Man.
You get the Ninja Turtle one too.
Oh yeah, and I got the Ninja Turtle one. That's kind of the oddball one.
That Ninja Turtle one, I don't like it because I've got a copy of it now, and it's too tall for my shelf. It's taller than the other ones.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's a hardcover Kirby one too, a different one.
It's got
the first issue of OMAC, the first issue of
D. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they've done some New Worlds stuff like that. But, shelf space is always a premium.
Well, yeah, it is. But these are only like, I don't know, not even a half an inch. Well, maybe not even half an inch. Well,
oh yeah, those are good. They're good shelf.
The bigger ones, though, you're right. It's like when you put them on top of your bookcase or whatever.
Oh yeah, that yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is I love these artisan editions. This one here doesn't have a lot of the corrected stuff or the lines where he's building the page or shaping the character or whatever. But if you just want to see cool looking art, like Scott said, clean line and really nice inks, this is a nice book to have, but it just doesn't have some of that pre-production kind of stuff to it. So I'd give it a mild recommendation. If you're into artisan editions, definitely pick it up. If you're into Silver Surfer, pick it up. If you're into John Mishima, pick it up. But otherwise, maybe skip it.
Yeah, maybe a pass.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about real quick about something. While we were traveling, I bought a lot of stuff. I bought some souvenirs. I bought some T-shirts, and I got an X-Men T-shirt.
It's like a milk carton thing.
You don't know what this is? I'm holding my T-shirt today while I'm wearing it.
It's a Mutie thing, but what's it from? I don't remember what it's from.
Okay, I'm wearing a T-shirt. I did not buy this. Well, first off, last week, if you listened, I went on a rant about Disney. I mean, I talked about Disney. One of the things, Disney owns Marvel. So we went to the world's largest Disney store, Disney Downtown or Disney Springs. There was so minimal Marvel stuff there, it was pathetic. There was some figures, and 90% of them, they were really pushing the Barbie-style America Chavez figure. I guess she's in the new Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah.
Ton of those on the shelf. There were some other action figures. There was some Disney shirts that I thought were horrible looking. There were no, Marvel shirts. There were no character shirts. They just had the Marvel logo on them and maybe like some symbols. Or maybe they had some wording on them, but they didn't have like you couldn't buy like a Hawkeye shirt, for example.
Or even a Spider-Man shirt.
Or a Spider-Man shirt or a Doctor Strange shirt. There's a Doctor Strange movie out. There's no character shirts. And most of the Marvel shirts were not T-shirts. They were like a button-up Hawaiian-style shirt that had a print. They were horrible. I thought they were all crappy looking. I was disappointed at that. And then there's a Marvel store that sold the exact same kind of crap in both downtown. No comics, nothing, you know, which I'm floored.
I told you, you know, not to cut you off, but you know what Universal, you know, the part of Universal.
Yeah, it's
it's the newspaper.
Part, yeah. They, with like I know, Popeye I, and all yeah, that. Dude, I bought me a Spider-Man mug at the
they
store.
They got all kind of stuff there. Yep. It's ridiculous.
Yep, Marvel. Anyway, so we were in the airport. This is before we were leaving Pensacola. We were flying to Orlando, and I was in the airport, and my feed popped up an ad for this shirt, and so I ordered it because I thought it was so cool. And it says, it's 1987, do you know what your children are? And it's got a picture of four kids underneath it. Across one of them is the word Mutie. And it says, paid for by the citizens in support of the Mutant Registration Act. Which is from the days of future past.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was cool, so I bought it. It's put out by a company. I got it. It came the day we got home. And it came in this bag, which I thought was pretty cool. I want to show it to you.
That's
the bag they sent it to me in.
Oh, hell's bells, yeah. This is really cool.
And they sent me... and it came with this postcard in the bag that I thought was kind of cool. Oh, and then...
Choke and Bleed?
The name of the company is Choke and Bleed. And they sent me this sticker.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and which is their logo, and it's the word choke, and then bleed is in red bleeding letters. But it's a lot cooler than I'm describing it. But I thought the bag was cool, man.
The bag is big time.
Anyway, I sent him an email. I was like, man, I got the shirt. I love the shirt. I mean, it cost me $20. It's on kind of a nice, kind of It's a soft kind of shirt.
Yeah.
It's kind of an off-white. Normally, I wear dark T-shirts, just because.
No, I like the color of it. It's cool. The color's cool.
Just because I tend to spill stuff on myself. Anyway, I wanted to talk about where you point. Oh, is it under here? Anyway, I told him, I sent him an email and told him that I really liked the shirt. And they went to my website and they're like, oh yeah, man, you know, they were talking. Anyway, they thought it was cool. They commented on my art and and I told them that I was going to talk about it on the podcast. And so you'll have to tag them. I'm going to show you this. You can cut this out if you want to. This is a picture of the shirts they sold at the
I saw that, yeah.
How pathetic is that? The one I like. I'm going
to put that up on our website.
You know what? I'm going to. I'll send that to you right now. Because none of these are, they're horrible looking.
Yeah, they are. They're very bad.
There's one shirt that says Marvel, that has the Marvel logo. It's on a gray shirt. And it's a gray shirt with a red, it's a ringer shirt, which
I hate those.
I can give or take them, but this one is weird looking.
I don't like those at all.
And I think those shirts are actually girl shirts. The Hawaiian style shirts have like patches of color on them. They sell pants that say Avengers down the leg for some reason. They look like parachute pants.
Maybe they're sleep pants.
You know, I didn't think about that. They might be. I have some Marvel sleep pants that have like old comic panels on them. That's much cooler.
Yeah.
You know, there's a.
It's like, who's picking this shit out that they're gonna sell in the store?
Oh, it looks horrible.
Who's the buyers here?
And there's no comics.
The buyers, that Universal shop is so much better. I bought some comics from the Universal shop.
It is pathetic how bad the. I mean. And I know, yeah, and it drives me crazy that, and I wrote on there, you know, I wrote on Facebook, I went on a little rant, I said, they don't sell comics. I was including graphic novels, I was including anything related to, that would drive people to comics.
Anything reading.
Yeah, anything you read, novels. I mean, you know, they want to do brand, like kids' books, you know, why aren't those there? You know, I was talking to somebody about comics at Disney, like in the line or something. Because everywhere when I was drawing, I took my sketchbook with me everywhere. And like, when we were waiting in line, I'd draw. And at one point, I was talking to some people, and we were talking about comic books. And I said, what's sad is the last, maybe it was online. Anyway, I said, you know, what's sad is I bought comics at two places at Disney World. One, or on a Disney trip. One of them was at the Virgin Mega Store.
Yeah.
The only place on Disney property I've ever bought comics was at the Contemporary.
At
their gift shop. They had this magazine and it was like a digest size, but it was all Disney comics.
Okay.
But it was cool. And
how long ago was that?
Oh, it was before Disney bought Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why don't they sell? Their merchandising just sucks. Whoever makes this stuff for Marvel, this is cool. I think this is a knockoff shirt. I think this was an ad they ran during the X-Men comics.
Well, I was gonna say I don't remember that in the comic exactly, but I think you're right. I think that was an ad. Now that I think,
I think this may be a unofficial thing, but I mean,
does it say like 2021 or 2022 Marvel anywhere on it?
It says 87.
Well, no, but that's part of the ad.
Oh, no, on the shirt? Yeah, no. So, you know.
No, I think that was an ad for that.
Yeah, that's what I looked it up, and it was, I looked up, you know, it's 1987, you know what your children are, online, and they were saying, there was an article talking about, oh, in the 80s, Marvel actually ran this ad about, you know, because I worked at work today, and I think some of the younger people were kind of like, what is that? I think they were, I think they were a little kind of put off by the, I don't know. I know, it's like, you're mad because I hate mutants? What do you know?
What kind of sissies are we talking about here?
Well, you know.
Wow.
They're the younger
This
generation.
Is offending me.
Yeah.
I want to hug my clipboard.
I'm being triggered.
Oh. I'm hugging my clipboard.
We did. Well,
some kind of training?
No, I'll tell you a story offline about somebody we met at the park like that.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Choke and Bleed. Go to
Choke and Bleed.
Choke and Bleed. I think it's chokeandbleed.com.
Got another book.
They have other shirts. They do this one's called Muty. They do a Wolverine versus Cable, which is kind of cool. Oh, that one's $25. There's something called Hack the Planet. I don't know what that is. It's got Japanese writing on it. It's kind of strange looking. Man to Man is like a Cable thing. That's cool. They do a Terminator thing. Oh! I didn't see this or I would have ordered that one. Hardboiled.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. How much is that?
It says Come and Get. $20, man.
Oh, I need to get one of those.
I think that's...
You can just send me the link to that Choke and Bleed.
It's at chokeandbleed.com. Oh, I didn't. They sell stickers. Dude, I should have looked closer. I just ordered. Oh, their stickers are too. I'm going to order some stickers. If you order, let me know. We'll split the shipping.
What's your shipping?
I don't remember. A couple bucks. It wasn't very much.
All right.
And I got it quick. I ordered it. They ship out on Monday, and I got it. It came Wednesday. Order ship out in a week or less, unless it's pre-order.
Well, I told you I've got a book, and I do have another book, and it's another Artisan Edition. I got the Mike Mignola Hellboy Artisan Edition, which features Hellboy in Hell and other stories. And once again, the back of it, it's got the raised ink on some of the panels in the back. So, I'm a big Hellboy fan. I like Mignola. He's pretty cool. His artwork, I like it quite a bit. It's different. And after getting the Silver Surfer book, I was like, well, what am I going to get this Hellboy book? Is it going to be kind of more the same without the blue line and that kind of stuff? And at first, I looked at it and I was like, oh, man, I don't see a lot of things he's done. And I remember reading about him, and I guess he's so, I don't want to say picky, but so...
Meticulous
is a good word, of his artwork, that apparently, from what I've read, he will erase and redraw stuff all the time to get exactly what he's looking for. And so I thought, man, on this book is probably going to have all kind of like lighter lines or white out or whatever, where he made changes. It just doesn't exist. But I'll tell you what this book does have. Besides having all the issues, I do believe, Hellboy in Hell, it's got 1 through 5. It's getting more than that. It's got 1 through 5 of Hellboy in Hell. The Hellboy in Hell part doesn't have any lettering stuck on the boards. So you get like all the artwork. And what you can see on it is you don't see any really pencil lines, but you can see he does so much black, you can see the different thicknesses of the black, like the black, but then you can see some of the black.
Yeah. That's like, how John Byrne Artisan Edition is.
Yeah, some of the black is like, it's like more gray black. Like it's...
Well, it's like some of it comes out of a pen and some of it's a wash off a brush.
Is that what it is?
I think so. I mean, that's, you know...
But...
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be... They shoot it with... Generally, depending on how they do it, when they scan it, it either is black or white. So it doesn't have to be, you know, solid black.
Completely, yeah. But man, I was flipping through this just today, and the artwork in here is just spectacular. Without the lettering, it just looks unbelievable. And so you've got the Hellboy in Hell, and it's, you've probably never read it, Scott, but he literally goes to hell. It's got all the hell, you know, all the different demons and things. I think he runs into Hell's Bells. I can't think of the villain's name that's in here, but he's in hell with him. And it's just spectacular. The artwork on here is really cool. It's just kind of spooky, kind of just a lot of evil stuff going on in hell or whatever. So you got all that in here, and it looks really cool. And then you go to the back of the book. If that's not good enough, you go to the back of the book. I'll flip them back there right now. It says Table of Contents, Additional Stories. It's got Mike Mignola's Hellboy from the San Diego Comic-Con Comics number 2. That was Hellboy's first appearance. So that's in here. It's got Mike Mignola's Hellboy, World's Greatest Paranormal Investigator from the comic book Buyer's Guide 1070. I don't know if I've got a copy of that or not. Then it's got something called, get this, Faith from John Byrne's Next Men. It's got the pages that Hellboy was in the Next Men.
Oh, that's funny. And then it's got
The Corpse that was originally in Capital City Comics. And it's got The Ghoul or Reflections on Death and The Poetry of Worms that was featured in The Dark Horse Book of Dead. And then it's got The Troll Witch, which is also from Dark Horse Book of the Dead. So it's got stuff that you don't just find anywhere. And that stuff is in here. And this is old stuff, so the artwork looks a lot different, not nearly as polished. This stuff's got the blue line in it. You can see the blue line all over this stuff. And I would say this stuff takes up the last third of the book. So the first two thirds are really, really nice, just inked artwork that looks spectacular. The last third of the book, like I said, is his older stuff, like his original parents and stuff like that. And on that, Hellboy looks a little different. You know, this is earlier in his career, or earlier in his Hellboy career anyway. And you've got like a lot of blue lines and stuff like that. And the cool thing about it is all of this has the text. So if it's stuff you haven't seen before because of where it's at, especially that Next Men stuff you can't find anywhere, you can just, you know, pick this up and flip through it and see it in here. It just looks spectacular. I think this book might be my favorite Artisan Edition.
Really?
Yeah, I really like the Mazzucchelli book for what it's got. But I don't think it competes to this, as far as the artwork goes, I don't think it competes to the Mignola Hellboy stuff. This Mignola stuff is spectacular. Yeah, it doesn't have as much of the process stuff as the Mazzucchelli does, but I think the final product is just unbelievable with the black and white art. It just looks that cool. And this old stuff in the back is just, I didn't know what was coming on here. It just says, in other stories, I didn't know what to expect. And I started flipping through it, and every page was like, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's in here. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that's in here. It's just so cool. I highly recommend this book. If you're a Hellboy fan, an Artisan Edition fan, a Mike Mignola art fan, it's really cool. Then there's a third table of contents in the very, very back of the book, and it's got early Hellboy designs, T-shirt designs, house advertisement, unpublished Hellboy promo pieces. So it's just got some extra and some covers too. It just has extra stuff that they found and they stuck it in here. That's original pieces that have like the blue line and stuff like that on it. There's even like these old Hellboy covers that had Monkey Man O'Brien. You got little Arthur Adams in the corners of these covers, but. Man, this book is big time. It's $40 cover. I pre-ordered it, so I got a really good deal on it. But, you know, if you're in the market for Artisan Editions or an Art Edition, Artist Edition, I would say this Hellboy one. If you like Hellboy or Mike Mignola, it is unbelievable. It's my favorite by far. The artwork in here is spectacular. Check it out. That's what you think.
I will check it out.
I don't think you're the biggest Mignola fan, so
it might not. No, I like him. I just got kind
of. It might not do it for you, but I think it just looks really cool. The last third of the book is pretty sharp. That old, seeing that old stuff in there that I didn't know was going to be in there, that is what kind of put it over the top for me.
I wonder what he uses to ink with. He does like a real thin line. He has to use brush on some of this because you can see, like here where he got like, it's like the close stuff he did with a brush and it's lighter, and then maybe he went in with a Sharpie or something on the big stuff. Oh, and this is drawn on Marvel Comics paper.
I saw that. It's when he was leaving Marvel and going to a Dark Horse, I guess, he still had some Marvel paper in his possession, so he used it.
Yeah, I mean, what's he going to do, ship it back to him?
Right. You probably have that old stuff, right?
I think I've seen some of this. I think I have the corpse in something.
Yeah.
I definitely have read the corpse because I remember the bait because he's gonna touch it with the iron thing. It's like what? Because I remember reading in the thing. Yeah, the corpse points. Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. The baby's been swapped out. The people are like, it's not our baby. Yeah. He's like, it looks like your baby. He goes, let me touch it with iron. And they're like, no.
It's a little demon.
Yeah, it's a little demon baby. So he has to go barter for it somehow.
And the little demon baby wings pop out or whatnot.
Something. Yeah, I remember. I don't know what I got it in. It seems like it was in an anthology of other Hellboy stories. It seems like that was the same one with the pancake story, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It may be in that Art of Hellboy book. No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I'll spend more time flipping through that than I will on most of my other artisan editions.
Yeah, what's funny is that paper is a little bit darker, it seems like. Or maybe it's just something. I don't know.
There's another one on the horizon. There's there's a Gil Kane Spider-Man on the horizon. It's up next. But I'm like going, well, where's the Neil Adams ones? Where's the George Perez ones? Where's the, you know, that kind of stuff? Speaking of which,
a lot of it has to do with what they can get the art of, man.
Speaking of which, I think we haven't really spoken about George Perez passing away.
No, we haven't. I don't. He passed away right before I left town, I think, and we haven't met since then.
I know we talked about Neil Adams. I guess we could say briefly about George Perez. To me, I know Neil Adams. Not only was he an innovator, in that with redoing Batman and all that business, and then he also fought for creators' rights, helped people get their artwork back, helped different creators get better deals when they had shit deals to begin with.
I think he was, at the time,
such a high, on an upswing that people were listening to him, and he pulled a lot of strings to help a lot of people out. But on the other hand, he wasn't my guy because when he was doing his, Green Lantern, Green Arrow stories, or his Batman stories, it's kind of before my time when I was really reading comics heavily. So to me, my guy would be more George Perez because some of my first Avengers comics I picked up were illustrated by Perez, plus the Infinity Gauntlet, the Crisis stuff he did, the Wonder Woman, everything else he's done is just stuff that I read and I really liked. So, I can appreciate the Neil Adams looking back, but I wasn't really reading it when I was an up-and-comer like I was with the Perez. So the Perez and the New Teen, I didn't think I'd even say New Teen Titans, obviously. New Teen Titans, I've talked about that on the show, how important that was to me. It's one of the best runs in comics ever, in my opinion. So Perez is way up there for me as my guy Neil Adams is great, but so when George Perez passed away, it's not like we didn't know he was going to die because, he had cancer and pancreatic cancer, I think. He wouldn't take any treatments for it. He didn't want to, be sick with the chemotherapy. He just wanted to have the rest of his days be as good as they could be. And so, unfortunately, he passed away from that. So, it was really sad for me that he died. But, we've told the story about how me and you met him.
Yeah.
At the convention, and he signed some books for both of us and that kind of thing. Really nice guy. So, it's kind of sucks he passed away, but it was not unexpected. Whereas the Neil Adams one, pretty much a healthy guy, but 80, and then he got sepsis or whatever, and that's pretty bad. So, anyways, two absolute legend superstars died, about a month apart from each other?
Yeah, something like that. The Neil Adams thing was kind of a shocker. Of course, the Perez was not a shocker. I'm kind of with you, kind of like you. Both of them I appreciated. George Perez was probably more of my era, if you want to put it that way, because he was a little bit younger than Neil Adams. But I didn't read most. Both of them, I think, were more successful at DC than Marvel. Both of them did more. I think they did more work at DC. Now, like you say, Adams did the X-Men and did some you know, other work, Avengers, at Marvel, but Perez did, like you say, a lot of Fantastic Four and Avengers about the time that I started reading them, and so I was definitely familiar with him. I don't think he really hit his stride until he went over to DC, though, and started. I mean, I think Teen Titans is kind of the book that put him on the map. I could be wrong on that, but I think that was the thing where it's kind of like, oh, okay, when I recognized him. At the time that I was reading the Fantastic Four and the Avengers when he was on it, I wasn't really paying attention to the artist. And so it was the later stuff. But I think once he moved over there, he didn't come back for a lot of Marvel stuff, I don't believe.
He came back. They hadn't.
Well, he did the relaunch of the Avengers.
He did that Busick, but before that, I think it was before that, was when he was doing Infinity Gauntlet, and he did like the first, I want to say, three issues, but he's also doing Wonder Woman at the same time, and he basically bit off more than he can chew, and so he had to drop one of them, and he wasn't willing to drop Wonder Woman, so he dropped. And I read an article. An interview before he passed away. I read this interview maybe 6 months ago or so with Perez, and that was his big regret in comics, was he didn't pencil all the Infinity Gauntlet. He only penciled like three or four issues.
Oh yeah,
because he had to dump one of his projects. He dumped it instead of Wonder Woman. He had committed to DC, so he stuck with it.
You know, we were at that garage sale maybe like a year ago. I think it was last summer, probably, and I bought the first volume of that Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah, did you ever read that?
I've probably read about half of it. Wonder Woman is not my jam.
Yeah.
I mean, even when John Byrne was on it, and John Byrne's writing is so much different from Perez's, or at least his approach towards Wonder Woman is.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the art is beautiful. I mean, it's funny that we're talking about it because, literally. Like I said multiple times this episode and last episode, I went to Disney and I always take a trade paperback with me, and literally like this was in the stack but didn't make the cut. You know?
Oh, the Crisis.
The Crisis one.
Yeah.
And it was only because
you've read that before.
I've read it, and it's a struggle for me because I'm so unfamiliar with the DC characters.
Yeah.
You know, and I read it, and there's so much going on in this thing. It's just like, I mean, have you read it? Did you read it when it came out?
Not when it came out, but I've read it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I could not imagine myself reading this on a plane, you know, while I'm traveling.
I need to go back and reread it.
Dude, if you want to read it for the podcast, I'll read it. I'll reread it, but...
it takes long to go through that, though.
Oh, yeah. There's so much stuff here.
You think
here.
The ink will take a while?
Yeah, at some point you're like, okay, this is not a podcast. This is a job.
Well, it would be... We'd have to set aside a whole month. Okay, we're going to talk about Crisis for the next month.
Yeah, I mean, we could do it. We could do... You know, we wouldn't have to do every episode, but yeah, it would take some work. For sure.
Yeah, and I'm not the... best read DC guy either.
Oh, some of these characters, I'm like, who is this character?
Yeah.
There's a Marvel book, that Secret Warriors series they did,
mm-hmm.
and I picked up, we were at a convention, I picked up the trade of it.
Is that the Hickman run?
The Hickman run, it's everything. It's kind of a thick thing. I got it really cheap. I flipped through it and I was like, this looks interesting. And I met the artist that drew it, like, the year before, and I kind of liked his art. I bought it.
Bill Otno or something?
No, an Italian guy. I can't even say his name.
Okay.
But I thought, oh, I want to get this. When I read it, and like none of the characters are familiar, it's just like, I was so lost. It's like,
really?
You know, if you don't know who they are,
yeah.
And comics are bad. Used to comics would introduce everybody. They don't do that anymore, man. You're like reading it going, who is this person?
Well, some of the Bendis comics, when he was writing like Avengers, they do like a title page at the front and kind of tell you a little bit of a summary of what's going on or whatnot. I think they kind of dropped that again.
Yeah, they've dropped that. But, I mean, Shooter used to say, he used to hammer it into people's heads about, oh, you got to explain who it is because every issue is somebody's first issue or whatever.
Yeah, but if you're as a long-term reader, like it's so tedious reading.
Nah, if you do it right, it's not
it's
bad.
Almost like the Doc Savage first 30 pages of the story or first 20 pages is like,
going through all of his aides and what they do and all that horse shit.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, I don't know. When I was a kid, I bought one of the first Fantastic Fours I bought. I forget what number it is. But there's all this weird stuff going on, and they did such a great job at introducing all these characters. Reed Richards was stuck in the negative zone. It was like 187 or something like that. And there was all this, and they did a great job of introducing it. And I've always remembered that, how when I was a kid, even though I didn't know anything about it, I read it, and I was able to pick up everything.
Yeah.
You know. This is not written that way.
No. I don't got time for that.
No. This is like, go.
It's like, you should know everything. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm sorry you don't know who this guy is. I'm sorry you don't know why this tank has a rebel flag on it. You should know this haunted tank. Come on. And you shouldn't wonder why haunted tank is in a superhero book. It's the infinite Earth, not just...
Yeah, it's all the Earths, yeah.
It's all the Earths. Anyway.
Well, I know you've got one more book. I just kind of want to hear about this last book you've got.
I don't have another book.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, my Rush book?
Yeah, the Rush book.
I'll just lend it to you.
Oh, you want to talk about it?
Nah.
Okay.
Nope, we're out of time.
Okay. All right, well, Scott says we're out of time, so we're going to wrap this episode up right here. We've talked about a few things tonight. I hope you will enjoy that, and I'll definitely put some pictures on our blog, on our site, of what we've talked about tonight. And as always, I've been the host, Dale Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Come back next week for another all-new episode. And check out our blog at betterthanfictionthepodcast.blogspot.com.
Oh, we're going out of order? Oh, okay. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please take a second to leave a review and subscribe. This will help other people find the podcast.
Yeah, well, and with that, we're going to say, hey, see you next week. And we're out of here.